All right, well, I should probably just start recording instead of talking to myself about how dumb women are. Now, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but women are dumb. And you say, great one. And what did some woman... It's just, there's no one specific thing. It's just everything. Literally, Hitler, any and every encounter with a woman. You read a book by a woman, which we'll talk about in a minute. She's dumb. You see a woman posted something on Twitter. She's dumb. You're in the grocery store and there's a woman and she's looking for her and she's dumb. Like, just everything. God, they're so fucking annoying. You can scream and shout with all your might. And I can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. It's not going to fix anything. They're still dumb. I could go ahead and shove my opinions up my ass. That way Biden's cock will have something to keep it company. But thank the gods for the one truth, the third option. I am right and you are wrong. I almost got that incorrectly because I'm hot, not sexual. Well, we know I'm sexually hot. All the women think so. All the chicks are like, holy shit, the great one. He is so amazingly hot sexually. I want to have his baby. Actually, they don't do that because they're dumb. They're dumb. See, if the girls were smart, they would be wanting to have my baby. But they don't because they're dumb. They're just dumb. The great one is hot because God forbid anything should fucking work correctly. I think I told you guys, let's talk about me for a minute. Let's talk about my favorite. I used to be, great one, is this another podcast where you're going to fucking whine and snivel like a little bitch about how hard your life is? And yeah, it is. Because it's my podcast and I can whine if I want to, whine if I want to, and this joke is so overdone. But much like a woman, I don't have any new material, right? I'm just going to go around in circles about my vagina. I can't find my vagina 45% of the time, but I'm not going to come up with any new material. I'm just going to talk about my fucking vagina all the goddamn time. So anyhow, I think, because I never remember what the fuck I say on this podcast. Hi, by the way, I'm the great one himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, in case this is your first time around here. I've been on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 17 years now, I think, if I need to, I don't remember. It's a long time, 17 years, one long continuous podcast. It ate up a lot of hard drive space, let me tell you what. I'm right. I've always been right. I'll always be right. I have never been wrong. If you are offended by anything I say, good. And you can let me know what offended you by sending me an email to God. That is furbaby spelled backwards, God at cynlibsoc.com. By the way, whoever it was, I always need to catch up on email. Whoever it was, you sent me the email about Henry Rollins and asked him, you remember Henry Rollins? And you sent the link to the video. I watched it. Yes, I do remember Henry Rollins. You know what's really funny is the last time that I was in Fort, well, I don't know if it's funny or not. Interesting. Let's go with interesting. The last time I was in Fort Collins, not the time when I just drove through on that fucking marathon epic load of shit when my truck broke. No, wait, when did the truck break down? Was that the... Anyway, it doesn't matter. The last time I actually stayed in Fort Collins. As opposed to just driving through Fort Collins. At the Aggie Theater in downtown Fort Collins, Henry Rollins was performing. So I watched some Henry Rollins videos on the YouTube and I found some interviews with him and I found an interview where he's talking about how, you know, he got into the business and it was all just kind of a, not necessarily an accident, but it wasn't what he expected, you know, and he's talking about tenacity and just sticking with them. So, man, this is a very good message. And then I watched another video where he's being interviewed where he's sucking up to homosexuals and he just doesn't understand why people have a problem with faggots getting married. And I said, all right, well, there we go. They're just, That just destroyed my opinion of him. I can now forget all about Henry Rollins again because he is a fag lover. So anyway, back to things that are more important than Henry Rollins, namely how hot the Great One is. So I think I told you guys when I moved into this place where I'm living now is a very new apartment, but you could tell it's a new apartment because nothing is destroyed yet too much. There's a couple of little dings, but you could also tell it's new because the workmanship is shoddy. You know, you can tell this is an assembly line thing. The way, like the doors on the cabinet aren't level with each other. And you just look at like the woodworking, the baseboards and stuff, the little gaps. You can just tell that this was not built by somebody who gives a shit. Right, as a contrast, I don't know if I've told you guys this story or not, and I certainly haven't talked about this lately, but the house that my mother currently lives in back in Texas, which technically I own, or at least she tells me that, I should actually at some point find the actual paperwork and confirm, because she's evil and stupid. Like, so my mother, like every other woman on earth, is evil, stupid, totalitarian, and selfish. Because you know what? My mother is not a unicorn, and neither is yours. Your mother's not a unicorn. Your sister's not a unicorn. Your daughter is not a unicorn. I know she's your little princess, and you do anything for her, and she could go to college, and she's going to major in psychology and ethnic studies, and she's going to change the world, and you're going to buy her a pony for graduation. But your little princess is not a unicorn. Your girlfriend is not a unicorn. None of these women are unicorns. There are no unicorns. My mother is a dumb, evil, totalitarian, leftist bitch, just like every other woman. And every day of my life, I wake up and I think to myself, is this going to be the day that in some way I could not have even foreseen that my mother is going to fuck me over? Not just the normal kind of fucking me over like she's done for my entire life. A great one, are you blaming all your problems on your mother? No, I'm not blaming all my problems on my mother. I'm just stating a fact, right? If someone walks up to you and punches you in the face, okay, it's not their fault that your car payment is late. Okay, that's your fault. But they still punched you in the face. To state the fact that the person punched you in the face is not making an excuse for why your car payment is late. It's a statement of verifiable empirical fact, okay? My mother has fucked me over multiple times in my life, and I always can't just wait for the big one. Oh, it's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm the big one to be coming. That's what she said. So, anyway, the house my mother lives in, which I legally own, the person my mother and stepfather bought it from a long time ago, he built that house himself. And you could tell that this house was built by somebody who gave a shit and knew what the fuck he was doing, or at least most of the time. I don't know. He wasn't like a professional carpenter or anything, but he built his own fucking house. Because this was back in the days when you could get away with doing shit like that. Now, I mean, holy fuck, if you wanted to build your own house today in a city limits someplace, you'd probably get slaughtered with the fucking paperwork and the permits, and you'd have to get a certified this and a certified that, and you're not actually building your own house, because by the time you have to hire all the certified people. Anyhow, we're not talking about any of that. Here's what we're talking about. So here at my apartment, the air conditioning is not working. And I call the people, I'm talking to the maintenance guy for the apartments. He's like, yeah, we're trying to get the air conditioner guy in there because we got three others in addition to yours that's not working also. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, I mean, lowest bidder. This entire thing that I am living in, this entire structure and everything about it was all built by the lowest bidder. And it's really obvious. The shit's not even 2 years old yet. The air conditioners are already taking a shit. that they, because they bought the cheapest air conditioners. So anyhow, naturally, this happened yesterday is when I noticed it, because the air conditioner is running for like hours. I'm going, man, you know, it's not getting any cooler in here. And I look, and the temperature is, because I had the thing set for like 78, and the temperature's like 83. And I stick my hand up in front of the vent, and fucking warm air is blowing out. I'm like, great, I've been running the air conditioner for hours using electricity, and all it's doing is making the place hot. So, of course, naturally, this happens yesterday, because today I'm recording this. This is Monday, the 18th of July. Today is the hottest fucking day ever. Not ever, but the hottest day recently. Tomorrow is supposed to actually not be too bad. I think it's mid-80s or something. Today, the weather forecast says it's a high of 106. Last I looked at my outdoor thermometer, we're at 105. Here inside, I'm at 84. So that's not too bad. At least, here's the one good thing about my place, is I am on the opposite side from the sun. So the sun is not shining on my wall or through my windows. Of course, now in the winter, I would like to have the sun. If we could just put the whole thing on a big turntable and spin the apartment complex so that my wall and windows are facing the direction I want so as to appease me, that would be wonderful. Now, of course, if I were a woman, I'm sure there'd be some beta males who'd start a Kickstarter to fund that project because, God forbid, I experience any discomfort. However, since I don't have a vagina, which even if I had one, there'd be a 45% chance I couldn't find it, well, I'm going to go ahead and be uncomfortable. And yeah, and if you hear a little noise in the background, that's because the fan is running. Deal with it. So anyhow, let us now move on to the actual topics for this podcast. I'm going to talk about books and movies. First of all, let me throw in some stuff that I forgot the previous time I talked about books and movies. I talked about the movie Ironclad and how much it sucked. A thing I forgot to talk about that was actually good about the movie was the actor who portrayed King James. Now, I thought he did a really good job. Because here's the thing, now this is where we'll delve into politics a little bit and we'll make fun of the right-wingers and their affection for monarchy. You know how Aristotle said that democracy is the least worst form of government? I used to agree with that. I think, I'm not a woman, so I do think, every once in a while, I think that he is incorrect about that. I believe you or I, or somebody who's intelligent, so not any women, an intelligent man, there are no intelligent women, an intelligent man could make the argument that monarchy is in fact the least worst form of government. Because at least in a monarchy, you know who's in charge, you know who's responsible, there is no escaping the blame. As opposed to a democracy where everybody knows who's in charge, and those who are in charge is the mob. Right? That's what democracy is. It's 51% tells 49% what to do. It is literally Hitler, the mob rules. So we know in a democracy who is responsible. It's the mob. The problem is the mob is an ever-shifting, nebulous group of people. And as we've seen right here in the United States, the democracy coalesces into an oligarchy, which is essentially what we have now. It's a democracy in sort of pretend, you know, I mean, with the fake ballots. I mean, the voting thing. Does anyone even actually believe that the voting works anymore? Like when you vote, do you think anyone actually even counts? I'm talking about like national levels. I'm not talking about for your city council and shit. I mean, that may or may not work, and who gives a shit? But in this last presidential election, Does anyone think that the votes even mattered? That the votes were even looked at? So anyhow, the argument could be made that the least worst form of government is monarchy. Here's the problem. Here's a problem with the monarchy. So this actor, I don't know the guy's name, the actor who played King James in Ironclad, whatever it's called. I think he did a great job. I mean, his performance, I believed it. He fucking sold it. I think the guy did a fantastic job portraying the king. And part of that portrayal, which I totally saw in his performance, is that the king was slightly inbred, like an Arkansas hillbilly, right? His mother was his sister, or maybe his sister was his mother, depending on which way you want to look at it. And the problem, a problem with monarchies is that monarchies like to keep it in the family and have sex with each other. And so, sure, you start out with this monarch who's a fucking legitimate badass, right? Like Conan taking the throne because he's a great warrior and a great leader and people rally to him and he slays the bad guys and he slays the girls and all that other good stuff. And bam, he's the king. All right, and then he has some kids, you know, they do some stuff and then they have some kids and then they have some kids and then somebody's like, oh man, we really need to kind of keep it in the family. So then, you know, the cousin bangs the princess, and now you're like 1/32nd inbred or whatever, you know. And then the princess, and she has a daughter, and the daughter bangs the other cousin. And then you hit that point where the brother and the sister are doing the wild thing. And next thing you know, you got this fucking baby coming out, and it's the prince of your fucking kingdom, and it has three arms. I would not recommend that you watch the movie Ironclad, as I've already said. But if you enjoy pain and you want to watch it to see female nature exposed for what it is, because like I said, all the scenes with the woman, here they are. They're surrounded in this castle. They're going to die as soon as the king's forces break through the wall. They're all the men are trying to figure out, how do we survive the siege? And the fucking woman, all she can think about is, how do I get the alpha male's cock inside of me to shoot some sperm up in my uterus? So that I can then get an abortion and say, everybody, I aborted an alpha male's baby. Look how empowered I am. I'm going to go get a career. If you do want to experience the pain of watching this movie, pay attention to this guy's performance and tell me if you think I'm wrong. There is, he just his mannerisms and his body language, he really conveyed that the king was a little bit inbred. He really fucking sold that. You know, then I'm going to read an interview with him sometime, and somebody's going to ask him, so were you portraying the king as if he was inbred? And the guy's be like, no, of course not. And it's like, oh, I'm going to be like, oh, shit. Well, I thought you did a great job, regardless. All right. Shall we move on? Let's move on. Let's see. Should I do movies or should I do books? Let's do books. So as you know, the great one, and I learned this from Adam Piggott many, many years ago when Adam and I were first talking. Adam said, oh, a great one. I don't read books written by women because books written by women can't write books. I probably called them bents, not women. And at the time I thought, well, you know, Adam, that's a little excessive there. And anyhow, long story short, see, once again, I realized that I'm wrong. I realized this a couple of years ago at this point, that no, Adam was right. Women cannot write. Adam is right. Women can't write. Don't read books written by women. Because it's fucking painful. So anyhow, although I do have that book that a reader recommended to me, I got it. It's in there right now from the library about how the Christians were doing all their stuff and oppressing, yada, yada, yada. I forget the name of it. I'll talk about it sometime in the future. I've only barely delved into it because I'm also reading other things, which we'll be talking about because I'm talking about books. Duh. All right, so there's this author. I use the term author loosely. There's a female who has published some works with her name on them. Let's put it that way. Her name is Mira Grant. And she writes, from what I have seen, because I've ordered some books for her from my mother. She writes sort of, she's essentially trying to be the female version of Robin Cook. If you don't know who Robin Cook is, I've mentioned him before. I hope I'm getting his name right. I think it's Robin Cook. But he wrote the novel Coma, which was turned into the movie Coma, which I've talked about. The book is good. The movie, as I've talked about this movie not too long ago, the movie holds up. You want to watch a good movie, Coma. Anyhow, and he wrote these medical thrillers. Well, she's trying to do the same thing. So I picked up, I got this little novella by her. It's called Kingdom of Needle and Bone. And it is, it's a short novel. It's only 125 pages. So I think I'm going to read the whole thing because I want to see where it's going to go. I opened it up knowing that it was written by a woman. I said, you know, let me just try this out. Let me see how it goes. It's about a pandemic. It's about multiple pandemics. Now, if I were a conspiracy theorist, I would almost wonder if we weren't priming the pump. This is copyright 2018. And so far in the book, what happened is there is a pandemic of measles, which nobody has a resistance to. And then after that, there was a pandemic of whooping cough. And then after that, I think there was a pandemic of something else. I already forgot. It doesn't matter. But I'm reading this book. And I mean, once again, it's just, God, women can't fucking write. There's a lot of emotions. And the three central characters are three women who are all sisters. And of course, you know, they're all geniuses. They all have careers. The one is a pediatrician. And then the other one is a pharmacist. And then the other one is a fucking activist, you know, and they're all brilliant and they're all beautiful and they all strong and then they can do it all and all this other shit. Okay. Anyhow, so I'm reading this book and it's like a propaganda piece for vaccination. I'm reading this. I'm going, okay, did a pharmaceutical corporation, you know, pay her to put their talking points into this book before the Wuhan hoax was launched? I mean, the main reason I don't think it's any kind of conspiracy theory is just because most people have never heard of this woman, much less read her books. Like, if Stephen King wrote this book, I would be like, okay, the pharmaceutical corporations paid Stephen King to prime the pump. Because people know who Stephen King is. I want to read a chunk of this to you. We'll see if I get through this without editorializing or not. But this is just pure propaganda. Give me a second while I compose myself and get a drink of water here. Also, a note on books and literature. If you're reading a book and political opinions are being expressed, or any opinion, whatever. All right, let me start this a different way. When you're reading a book, you have two things that are happening. You either have a character in the book who is talking, or you have the narration, which is presenting information. Now, when a character is talking, it's understood that the dialogue is their opinion or their take on the world or their worldview or what they know to be true or what they believe to be true or what they think is true because they saw it on the television, whatever, right? It is coming from a character. And so just like when a person in real life says something, you know that there are biases there and all this other stuff. But when the information is presented in the narration of a book sets the expectation that what is presented in the narration is true. Right? The narration will say, Bob walked through the door. Right? That's not an opinion. You know that Bob walked through the door. If the narration says, you know, Sally went to Congress, which is the highest legislative power in the geographic region of the United States, and it has 100 senators and however many Congress critters. Okay, right? This is factual information. The information being presented in the narration has this facade, not a facade. You as the reader have the expectation that what is being presented to you in the narration is not subjective. It is objective. Maybe that's the best way to put it. So this is important because what I am about to read to you is not something being said by a character in the book. This is presented by the narration and thus brings with it the expectation of objectiveness, as opposed to when a character in the book says some dialogue where you know that it's subjective. You may say, great one, these are very subtle differences. Yes, that's how propaganda works. The logic of the picketers outside Dr. Golly's practice was terribly easy to follow. If she let go of the idea that words had meaning and chose instead to go down the rabbit hole of correlation equaling causation. So you see, guys, correlation doesn't equal causation. Now, it doesn't always, but sometimes it does. We'll just dismiss anything. Correlation doesn't equal causation. Okay, so if I point a gun at you and pull the trigger and the bullet comes out and then seconds, microseconds later, a bullet goes through your brain, well, I didn't cause that. I mean, there's a correlation between me pointing a loading gun at you and pulling the trigger and you having a bullet remove your brains. Correlation does not prove causation. See, this is one of those arguments that, yeah, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. See, that's why you have to do this thing called thinking. All right, let's see if we can get through this, because this is long. That's what she said. The anti-vaccination movement had managed to survive Morris's disease. So Morris's disease is the version of smallpox that killed all these people in the book. The anti-vaccination movement had managed to survive Morris's disease thanks to the 1-2 punch of vaccinated children dying and vaccine stockpiles running out across the country Thanks to the 1-2 punch of vaccinated children dying and vaccinated stockpiles running out across the country and the world as governments struggled to break the back of the disease. When the secondary epidemics had begun, certain groups had seen it as their opportunity to come out of the shadows and start peddling their unique brand of poison once again. So see, now the anti-vaxxers are peddling poison. So many vaccinated children had died, they said. So many people who had supposedly been protected by the great god science had fallen. How could that be anything but proof that vaccination was a scam advocated by greedy doctors who just wanted that sweet cash from the big pharmaceutical corporations? The proof was in the payoff. Well, yes, if you have a bunch of vaccinated people and the vaccinated people die, that's pretty good evidence that vaccination doesn't work. But see, not according to Mira Grant. Does this not sound exactly like the whole Wuhan hoax? Well, you get vaccinated for Wuhan, but it doesn't stop you from getting Wuhan. It doesn't stop you from dying from Wuhan. It's just that if you hadn't been vaccinated, you would have died even worse. Now, brace yourself, because this next bit I'm about to read to you, the pharmaceutical corporations must have paid for this. Listen to this. Never mind that vaccines were some of the least profitable products a pharmaceutical company had. Never mind that a successful vaccine closed the door to dozens of treatments, medicines.
Hold on, voice.
Take two. Never mind that a successful vaccine closed the door. It wasn't successful because all these people who were vaccinated died. Anyway, never mind that a successful vaccine closed the door to dozens of treatments, medicines and aftercare, and even lifetime dependencies on certain drugs. The best thing Big Pharma could have done for their bottom line would have been discontinuing vaccination altogether. The fact that they hadn't proved that they were still, that there, what? Proved that there were still some people, if not enough, who valued the public good over their profit margins. So you see, my friends, the pharmaceutical corporations value the public good over their profit. Because otherwise, they'd stop making vaccines, and then they could put all these people on medication for their entire life. And hold on, has anyone noticed that in the United States, virtually everybody is on medication for their entire life? Have you noticed that we're coming up on which round of boosters for the Wuhan vax now? How many vaccinations? Go look this shit up for the United States. Someone tweeted something somewhere and I kind of followed the link because it's like, okay, vaccinations when you're a kid, yada, yada, yada. You got to get this and that and something else. And somebody sent this link to the government documentation where I followed it. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, holy fuck. I mean, I had no idea that the government was foisting this many vaccines on children. I mean, I don't remember the exact number, but I was just like, what the fuck? And some of them are like these multiple 2, 3, 4 times you've got to get vaccinated for the same thing over the years. And that adds up the number of fucking needle sticks that a kid is getting. Like, holy shit. And guys, this doesn't cost the pharmaceutical corporations anything to do. They've nailed it. They've got it. They just churn the shit out. It's not like they're fucking updating it or having to research it anymore. And then to sit here and say, well, if the pharmaceutical corporations, you know, wanted to make more money, they'd just stop vaccinating people and they'd get these sicknesses. No. Because vaccinating people makes them live longer. The older you are, so for women in the audience, let me break this down in a way that even you may be able to understand, even if you don't know where your vagina is. The longer you keep a person alive, the older the person gets. Now, I know that living longer and getting older, you know, correlation doesn't equal causation. Maybe those two things aren't related, but the longer you keep someone alive, the older they get. And the older people are, the less healthy they become. And the less healthy they become, the more medication they need from the pharmaceutical corporations. And the more they go to the hospital to have their knee replaced, and then their other knee replaced, and then the other knee replaced again, and then they got to get a colostomy bag, and then they got to go on dialysis. And so, yes, you make a lot more money vaccinating people to keep them alive until they're 97 than you do if you don't vaccinate them and they die from the smallpox when they're 34. Is there anything else here that I need to fucking beat like a dead horse? Least profitable, like I said, we're on round what of the fucking vaccination? Successful vaccine, blah, 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 pharma, bottom line. Okay, I mean, seriously, I read that to you. Does that not sound like a piece of fucking propaganda paid for by the pharmaceutical corporations? Okay. Attempting to educate the furious and the frightened. See, if you're an anti-vaxxer, you're furious and you're frightened. Does any of this sound familiar? Attempting to educate. Because see, you're just not educated. If you're an anti-vaxxer, you're not educated. You're furious and you're frightened and you're so emotional. Attempting to educate the furious and the frightened about herd immunity and how the first wave of the anti-vaccination movement's success had been what actually opened the door for Morris's disease to come dancing through had been a failure. Yes, you see, that small number of people who didn't vax their kids, that's the reason smallpox reemerged and killed all the people who were vaccinated. Now, I know what they say, but if there's any unvaccinated people, the virus gets in them and it mutates and it turns into something that nobody's vaccinated against and then it kills everyone. First of all, correlation doesn't equal causation. Secondly, the herd needs immunity. The herd also needs to be thinned. Next, if people had healthy immune systems, vaxxed or not, maybe they wouldn't have to worry about this shit. Maybe if you went to the gym, if you exercised, maybe if you eat some nutritious food, maybe if you took some vitamin D, maybe if you got your vitamin D levels up to toxic levels. No one wanted to look at the body of their dead child, and there were so many dead children, so impossibly many dead children. Does this not sound like a fucking commercial for getting people to take the Wuhan vax? There are so many dead children. So impossibly many dead children. Women, this is what I'm talking about, writing. How could there be impossibly many dead children? The children either dead or they're not. If X number of children are dead, it is not impossible for X number of children to be dead because, in fact, X number of children are dead. Unless, of course, much like with the Wuhan in this book, they were falsifying the statistics of how many children died in order to frighten people into getting vaccinated. In that case, the number of dead children would, in fact, be impossibly many. Does this not sound exactly like the entire Wuhan hoax? All right. No one wanted to look at the body of their dead child, and there were so many dead children, so impossibly many dead children, and hear that they had done this. Well, that's because no woman ever wants to hear that she's responsible for anything. But again, yeah, if people don't want to hear that they're responsible for something, well, first of all, causation doesn't equal correlation. Correlation doesn't equal causation, rather. And secondly, who is it that's created a world where everybody has to be insulated and isolated and sheltered from the consequences of their actions? That would be women. Beta males created that to appease women because women wanted that. So if you're sitting here whining about people don't want to be confronted with the consequences of their actions, you can blame yourself for that one, bitch. All right, let's see if I can fucking get through this. No one wanted to look at the body of their dead child, and there were so many dead children, so impossibly many dead children, and hear that they had done this either directly or by saying, oh, that's just their way, about a sibling or friend who refused to vaccinate. Herd immunity had always been, would always be, so impossibly fragile. So it's impossible for it to be fragile? Does anyone understand what words mean? Impossibly fragile. It's impossible for it to be fragile? What are you trying to say? It needed all the help it could get. And see, notice, just like the people in the Wuhan hoax, at no point is she going to explain what herd immunity is. We know what it is, according to her. Herd immunity means every single person must be vaccinated. If there's one person on Earth not immunized, then we don't have herd immunity. Where have you heard that before? The anti-vaccination movement had received a massive boost from an unexpected source. Now, this is hilarious. We are now about to go into a realm that does not exist in the real world. A realm where women are consistent. In their application of logic, reasoning, and ethics. I know most of you, right? Let me wait a minute. I'll pause while you finish laughing and get back up off the floor. Yes, in this work of fiction, which is pimping the Wuhan hoax 2 years before it happened, Mira Grant thinks that women would consistently apply, well, anything. I would say moral, but they don't have morals. I'd say ethics. Women don't have ethics. Mira Grant thinks that women would be consistent. Let's go with that. Okay, here we go. Ready yourself. The anti-vaccination movement had received a massive boost from an unexpected source. The pro-choice movement. You mean the pro-abortion movement, right? Because in science, like philosophy, the first rule is that you call things what they are. You define your terms. Acting in response to a move by some politically canny members of their opposite number. Okay, abortion. So see, it's not even the pro-choice movement's fault. They were acting in response to a move by some politically canny members of their opposite number. So see, even though the pro-choice movement gave the anti-vaxxers a massive boost, it wasn't actually their fault. It was because of those evil anti-abortion activists. See, once again, they're women. They're not responsible for what they did. The pro-life movement isn't responsible for what they've done. It's really the anti-abortion wackos that are responsible. My God, there's so many layers here. I may need another podcast. Where am I on time? Wait, no fucking way. I am not 43 minutes into this. That's got to be wrong. Jesus Christ. Holy shit. I may not get this done. I got like 6 more things to talk about. All right. I got to go. Got to go. Abortion rights in America had always hinged partially on the concept of bodily autonomy. The idea that an individual could not be forced to give up control of their body, not her body, their body for the duration of a pregnancy simply because they, not she, happened to have been born in possession of a functional womb, even though 45% of they can't find the fucking womb. Bodily autonomy. Have we heard that any time lately? Bodily autonomy also stated that people could not be forced to become organ donors or to be vaccinated. Well, no, it doesn't. No, Mira, it doesn't. Right here in the real world, pro-abortion people can't shut up about you can't tell me what to do with my body, and then they, in almost fucking uniform lockstep, all turned right around and said, everybody needs to get vaxxed, and you better put some cloth over your face. She thinks that the fucking baby killers would actually take the bodily autonomy concept and extend it to vaccination. No, that is not how women work. Women do not take a concept and then apply it universally and consistently across the board. Women support, cry for, desire, legislate for, protest for, whatever makes them feel good in the moment. We're still seeing this play out. The pro-life movement is the mandatory vaccination movement. I mean, I said that wrong. The pro-abortion movement, the people who are pro-abortion and the people who are mandatory vaccination are the same fucking group of people. Bodily autonomy in this case, but no bodily autonomy in this case. And once again, this shows what I'm talking about with women when I say, I'm not making this up, this is not a joke, they are completely fucking self-unaware. They have no self-awareness. This is a woman writing this, describing the way she thinks women in the fucking pro-baby killer movement would behave, and she has no idea because she has no self-awareness. So this is a real question. Do you know any woman who is pro-abortion, who then took bodily autonomy and extended that to the vaccines? Do you know this woman? Like, could you give me her phone number? And I could call her and talk to her and she would tell me, yes, I believe in bodily autonomy for abortion and for vaccines. Does anybody out there know a woman who fits into that category? I'm going to hazard a guess that virtually no one does. There's going to be a couple. There's going to be a couple of outliers. They are outliers. They're also liars because they're women. Just completely clueless about female nature. This is a woman. Well, I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe it's ghostwritten. Maybe it's a man writing with a woman's name. Maybe it's a tranny. I don't know. Bodily autonomy, I read that sentence. Okay, refusing certain basic services to unvaccinated individuals had always been allowed on a state-by-state basis. But in the aftermath of Morris's disease, more and more people had begun to demand the exclusion of the unvaccinated from society. Does this sound familiar? Exemptions would be made for those with medical reasons to refuse the vaccination, of course. People with autoimmune diseases, people who are undergoing chemotherapy, humanity's most vulnerable. I'm so sick of hearing about we have to protect the most vulnerable. No, the most vulnerable are almost always also the biggest burdens on society. I know this hurts your feels, the most vulnerable, instead of dragging out their lives and spending gobs of fucking money to keep them in this state of half-life where they barely even know they're alive, they need to be allowed to just fucking die. I'm not going to do some death with dignity shit, because I don't give a fuck if you have dignity or not. I'm going to say you should be tortured, you could be put to sleep like a dog, you could be euthanized, there needs to be no pain involved. But this idea of just the most vulnerable, and this is like the children, you get away with any, my God, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If fucking Hitler had come out and said, I'm gassing the fucking kikes to protect the children and the most vulnerable people in our society, fucking Western women would have lined up to fucking support him. All you gotta do is spew some horse shit about the children and the most vulnerable, and people will just fucking fall for any stupid fucking thing you throw out. All right, anyway, I gotta get going. There's a lot more. Humanity's most vulnerable, who could not receive the life-saving shots, that still allowed a bunch of people in this book and in real life to die. Humanity's most vulnerable, who could not receive the life-saving shots, who depended upon herd immunity to keep them breathing. Everyone else, however, needed to form a living wall around their fellows. No more religious exemptions, no more personal exemptions, no more bodily autonomy. Yes, you see, guys, we need to form a living wall around these old sick people who are barely clinging to life and are only being kept alive through chemotherapy, with which the pharmaceutical corporations are making a fuck ton of money. Yes, we who are healthy, who go to the gym, who eat nutritious food, who are not on medication, yeah, we need to form a wall around these people to protect them. It might have been possible to craft legislation precise enough to thread the needle, explaining that in this case, the risk to the health of others outweighed the need to maintain the sanctity of skin, the communion of consent. See, notice how now this parallel is being drawn between the anti-vaxxers and the religious. Because see, those religious wackos, oh my God, they're religious. They're wackos. They're religious wackos, except for those Muslims. See, the Muslims, they're okay. Well, and of course, for the Jews. I mean, you can't question the Jews. A surprising number of individuals had no interest in threading the needle. They wanted bodily autonomy erased in a single legislative stroke, opening the door to outlaw all forms of abortion. After all, if forcibly vaccinating children to save their lives was allowable under the law, why shouldn't saving the lives of the unborn fall into the same bucket? Ooh, that's actually kind of a good question. All right, well, apparently I'm not going to get through all this in this episode, so apparently there's going to be a part two. Oh, hey, you know what? Actually, we're almost to the end. So after the music, I'm going to power through and we're going to finish this, and then I can do all the other stuff in another episode. So hang on past the music. Okay, here we go. A surprising A surprising number of individuals had no interest in threading the needle. They wanted bodily autonomy erased in a single legislative stroke, opening the door to outlawing all forms of abortion. You know, let's talk about... Let's tangent for a minute. Let's talk about another time the Great One was wrong. You say, Great One, how could you be wrong? Well, you're the Great One himself. You're the founder of the Cynical Liberty. You have been on the internet since 99. You have been podcasting for 17 years. You, along with Michael W. Dean, invented blogging. How could you be wrong? I know it's hard to believe, but you see, the Great One sometimes has been stupid. But see, I, not being a woman, have self-awareness. I recognize my stupidity and I correct my course. And that's why I've never been wrong. Anyone remember when the Great One was wrong and he came on the podcast and he said, yeah, if Obamacare passes, when the Republicans get control of the government, you know what they're going to do? They're going to use Obamacare to restrict abortion. And I realized I was wrong about that, because if the Republicans do anything to restrict abortion, then they can't run on the abortion platform. Just like right now, everyone's like having these fits. Oh my God, my Roe v. Wade and my fucking Ruth Bader Ginsburg and my Supreme Court and my permission from the government to scrape my fucking vajayjay with a coat hanger. Now, the Republicans aren't going to do jack shit. They might do a couple of little things here and there, but nobody's going to outlaw abortion, because if abortion gets outlawed, you can't run on the platform that you're going to outlaw abortion, and then you don't get all the anti-abortion people to fucking vote for you. But then I realized there's even more to it than that, or maybe there's less to it than that, whichever way you want to look at it. You know why the Republicans did not use the opportunity of Obamacare to restrict abortion? It's not because they want to run and they want the campaign to... It's even simpler than that. It's because they're a bunch of fucking pussies whose entire life revolves around being friends with their enemies. They don't have the balls to do it. Not the fucking ball sack in sight. Anyhow, I just had to make fun of conservatives for a minute there. All right, here we go. Let's wrap this up. There really isn't that much more, depending on how much I can tangent or not tangent. All right, surprising number of individuals had no interest in threading the needle. They wanted bodily autonomy erased in a single legislative stroke, opening the door to outlaw all forms of abortion. After all, if forcibly vaccinating children to save their lives was allowable under the law, shouldn't saving the lives of the unborn fall into the same bucket? Well, kind of, sort of. I mean, that's an argument you could make. Again, it takes us back to the whole abortion thing, because everyone wants to argue about, well, when does it turn into a person instead of a unviable tissue mass, which I just discussed that we're not going to go down that road, because if you listen to the podcast recently, you know exactly where I draw the line on that. But retarded people have to argue about that, because again, the idea that women especially can be consistent, no. They want to fucking abort the kid when it's in the fucking uterus, but as soon as it comes out of the uterus, they want to do anything and everything to keep it alive, including forcing everyone on the planet Earth to get vaccinated. And women, because they're stupid, they see no contradictions there, not one contradiction. You cannot find a woman alive who would see a contradiction between those two points of view. The fight raged on while the anti-vaccination movement howled about how they refused to be seen as baby killers simply because they wanted the right to decide whether their children had poison pumped into their bodies. And the pro-vaccination movement squirmed and twisted and tried to figure out how they had wound up on the right side and the wrong side of history at the same time. The right side and the wrong side of history. Oh my God. The families that had lost children to Morris's disease lined up for their vaccinations every time the scarce supply became available. Sleeves rolled up, arms held out like they were looking for salvation in the tip of a needle. Does that sound familiar? like they believed they could rebuild herd immunity all by themselves, like they could avenge the dead. Izzy, that's the character's name, Izzy blessed them with every strained breath. She's, oh, they're coming to get vaccinated. Oh, I bless you. The character Izzy is probably an atheist, but she's blessed. See, the people who are coming to get vaccinated with their sleeves rolled up and their arms held out, looking for salvation in the tip of a needle. Oh, bless them. Does that sound familiar to anyone? That sentiment that's being expressed right here? Does this sound familiar to anyone? Izzy blessed them with every strained breath and worked to keep immunizing their children against a dozen diseases that should have never been a problem, not in this world, not after everything they'd already gone through to save themselves. So wait, she's immunizing the kids against a dozen diseases? Well, weren't the kids already immunized against these? So you're saying the immunizations the kids had already received aren't working? So we've got to immunize these kids with dozens of immunizations. But they've already had like over 50. Do any of the fucking vaccines work? Do any of them work? And yeah, once again, so guys, I know this is a work of fiction, but it's also a work of propaganda. It's also a work that reflects the mentality of women. It's a work that reflects the mentality of the vaxxers. It's a work that reflects the mentality of the herd.